You're listening to the Managing Partners Podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Daisy. We interview top lawyers about how they're growing their firm. Hey there, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Managing Partners Podcast. I'm Kevin Daisy, and I'm your host. Today, I have a guest that was recommended by a previous guest. I had Tom Spiegel on my show, and he runs an awesome law firm that he owns, and he reached out and said, hey, Francisco would be a great guest because he's my managing partner here at the firm, and told me his background. We connected and chatted, and it was really cool to kind of get that the owner saying, hey, this is my man. This is my guy. He's running the firm. He's taking us to the next level. Hearing his background experience, wanted to kind of bring that to the table today. And so we're going to be talking about expansion to multi-state and multi-office and adding new practice areas. So kind of cover a lot of cool things as your firms grow and experience different things and want to keep growing. Kind of learn from them today and what they've done and how they're doing it. So Francisco, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Kevin. I really appreciate you taking the time out to chat with me and appreciate Tom's recommendation to connect us.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, you know, when I heard, you know, I had Tom on a couple years back, you know, I was just impressed by how he ran his firm and, you know, some of the things he put in place, like C-level suite and stuff like that. I was just like, okay, this is different. At the time, it was a difference for me talking to a lot of law firms. I thought that was unique. So I'm glad he recommended you and have you on the show today. So I guess, you know, first off, like I always do is introduce yourself and tell us your background, your story, and then we'll kick over to some of the other topics.
Yeah, absolutely. And kudos to Tom. Yeah, I agree. He runs his firm in a way that I've never seen, you know, just sort of going through the ranks, working in government and in, you know, mid-sized firms and traditional structures. Tom's way was very different. And, you know, when I first came in, and so it's really opened my eyes to how there is no set approach. That you don't have to be cookie cutter in order to run a successful firm. But, you know, we can certainly get into more of that later. Sure. So some of my background is, you know, after I graduated from law school, I worked at the Kings County District Attorney's Office in New York. You know, throughout my time there, you know, sort of started prosecuting misdemeanors, ended up prosecuting general gang prosecution, you know, homicide, conspiracy cases. That was, you know, it's great for cocktail hour, but, you know, fortunately and unfortunately, my career ended about almost 4 years in because there was a death threat on me after I took down a gang. Yeah, it was a sort of eye-opening moment for, you know, an attorney that you don't expect to be involved in that sort of light. And, you know, that sort of pivoted my eyes towards civil litigation. And from there, went in and started working in commercial litigation, dabbled in some defense work because I thought it was an area of law that was vacant in my resume. And so I did some med mal defense, which was incredibly interesting, very voluminous in documents. And then from that point on, I connected with Tom and, you know, we really have made together, you know, also with our CEO, Brian Formagas, just taking great strides and taking this firm to new levels in a very unorthodox way. And so it's been really great and exciting. And, you know, we're in the middle of explosive growth.
Well, that's exciting. That's what we want to hear about. We want to hear about the growth and the planning and all the cool stuff that goes along with it. So I appreciate the background. You know, when we were chatting backstage before recording this, you're traveling, you're going to check out new locations. You got a new office that you're opening in Maryland, I believe. So yeah, let's just talk about what point was like, hey, let's expand, let's open another office. And you told me about another state and stuff like that. So kind of what's that kind of come from where you're like, okay, we're at this certain point here where we're located to let's expand out. What kind of triggered that, I guess?
Yeah, that's a great question. And if you would have asked me that, you know, a couple of years ago, my answer would have been completely different. You know, I think one of the things that we noticed was how COVID changed the landscape and how you approach businesses. And you know, I think one of the big fears of expansion is, you know, overcommitting yourself to a long-term lease. You know, you can see how many vacancies there are. And then, you know, the commitment of a 3, 5, 10-year lease is daunting for any business, because you have to consider that, you know, financially, you know, approaching expansion. And so, you know, I think that that alone has made a big change in our, we've always had aspirations to do that. We've discussed a ton of locations, and, you know, I can share with you some of how we came to Maryland, and then, you know, Texas is sort of what we have in our crosshairs, and I can chat about how that even came about. But it really is being able to remain flexible. And I think that's sort of been our secret sauce, and being able to move and adjust with the market. And I think that's a credit to the type of growth we've had in the last 3 years. I mean, we've seen 30, 34%, 38% growth each year. Wow, and, awesome. You know, it's awesome, but it's exhausting. And so, you know, I think that we've probably experienced some level of that. And you know, I'm hoping that everyone can. It's exhilarating, it's exhausting, but you learn a lot, and it's sort of the trial by fire approach. So we are opening an office in Annapolis, Maryland, next Monday, actually. July 1 is our inauguration. And you're really excited to be there, because we've always accepted cases. You know, we're primarily based in Alexandria, Virginia.
I was going to say, let's talk about where you're based first.
Sure. Yeah.
I don't think we got that part out of the way. So
happy to start there. So yeah, Alexandria, Virginia, we've been in this current space for a few years now. It was a total build out. You know, it's a very nice space. They did a great job there. And, you know, we were looking at, well, we're based in Virginia. We receive clients from DC just based on proximity, and Maryland, of course. It's amazing. You know, 15 minutes and you're in three different areas.
Yeah.
but we really, you know, I think the advent of Google and how their Google My Business works, and the radius from your home office and the reach you have, has really changed also strategy. And we found that if we really want to serve the Maryland market, we want to do so by having a physical office there. And, you know, we made the decision, you know, it's been months in the making, and here we are. So now it's been, you know, we take a very organic approach, you know, organic networking. You know, of course, we get involved in SEO, and then, you know, from the Google end, social media marketing is also, you know, we place some emphasis there. But that's what got us to this point.
You're spot on. You know, obviously we do SEO, and the business listings, Google listings, or the Google Business Profile, massive part of that strategy now, especially now, where, you know, I'll talk to firms that are like, yeah, we want to just, you know, we're in Atlanta, but now we want to market on the opposite side of the state. Okay, well, you don't have a presence there. So just understanding the challenges with just wanting to be there. Like, you know, the content is not going to carry all the weight for you. If you don't have a presence there, a location, there's not as much trust with Google, and they're not going to show your listing all the way in Atlanta if they're all the other side of the state. So it's definitely has to be part of the approach now, is to have a physical address. It doesn't have to be some big fancy office downtown with 10,000 square feet, but a physical address that Google will accept. And it can't be like some co-working space maybe that Google won't allow. So yeah, but you're spot on. People won't trust that, hey, you're in Virginia, not Maryland. I'm in Maryland. So, and then you won't show up. So definitely have to be part of the strategy out there these days.
Yeah, that's so true. And even, you know, the warm referral, you know, reaching out to colleagues, they, you know, and understandably so, you know, you're not going to recommend an attorney that you're going to travel 30 miles for, 40 miles for. Now, ideally, you want to be in the immediate vicinity if you can, or at least be reachable. So that's the other side too, that, you know, as part of my, you know, sort of boots on the ground networking, that was absolutely a factor as well.
Yeah, no. people like, you know, with this day and age of technology and AI and video calls all day, it's just they prefer if you're nearby, and they'll choose that over someone that's far away, unless it's for like expertise. I've always said that. So I've been in digital marketing agencies forever, and we used to be a local agency, and we would win work because we're local, we're down the street, and I would use that to my advantage every time. And you know, we still might lose a potential client because like, well, there's an agency down the street, I'd rather be working side by side, and I get that. And now it's like, well, we're experts and you're hiring us not because we're next door to you, because we know what we're doing. So you have, you know, depends on what kind of law you're in. But if you're, you know, my business attorney, I don't want them to be in California. I don't want them to be somewhere else where I can't get a hold of them or go sit down with them, even though I don't usually go sit down with them. It's just that people feel more comfortable that way.
That's so true. And, you know, I think, you know, to kind of go back and to your point and, you know, sort of coupling it with COVID, you know, we've got so used to the video conference. And in most instances, it's more efficient, more convenient for everyone. But one of the things that we also started noticing was that interpersonal relationship that attorneys had with their clients. You know, if you go back 15, 20 years, you know, your attorney was your confidant. They knew everything. They knew where all the, you know, the expression, the bodies are buried. And, you know, I think we noticed at least that we started losing that extra level of trust. And, you know, being close allows the client, so that if they choose, and we encourage it to meet with us in person, we're finding that the feedback's been really positive. And so there's just a lot of reasons to, even though we have this tech now that allows us to do that, to really try to implement some of the strategies that we've always used.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, absolutely, you know, there's a lot of folks, you know, doing virtual law firms and fully virtual law firms, and there's a lot of cool stuff happening out there. And as you see more of that, I think firms will have to do more traditional things to be different. It's like sending a handwritten card out, you know, yeah. Unexpected these days, right? And that's a very basic, easy thing to do. But people go, whoa, what's this? This isn't normal. So using like traditional type of tactics, I think, and approaches in the future will be even more, because AI, you know, am I even talking to a real person? You know, AI chats on your website versus a real person. And so there's a lot of things like that. We try to get our clients to like, hey, use a chat that's a real person. They might think it's AI at first or automated until they know it's not. And there's a big difference. And I ask some of those people like, hey, you know, how was your experience with that? And so, yeah, as this stuff gets more advanced, I think the people that do things with a person will stand out more. So it's just how it's going to go.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. Hey, the chat bots and, you know, versus the live person, you know, and you know, Tom's working on something that right now that includes sort of our knowledge base, which allows the tech to actually provide really substantive answers. And hopefully at least gets it. It's amazing. It's amazing. You know, I think every set training session I sit in on, you know, I'm just sort of like, wow, I can't believe where we are nowadays. But I'd say you have to get involved. You have to implement it into your practice. It's
yeah, and you got to see what works, you know, and right. Some of the automated and AI and all that stuff's going to be awesome, and it's going to make you go to a different level. And I think there's also a overuse of it that people will start to find out that, okay, that's not going to work. It's too far. I had someone talking, and it was like, oh man, imagine when, you know, you'll get a McDonald's and there's no people at it, and it just makes your food and serves you. And they're like, and everyone that works in restaurants is going to be completely out of work. And I was like, no. You may be at McDonald's, but if me and you were like, hey, let's go grab a great Italian dinner.
Right.
You're not going to go to a restaurant with no people at it making your food. It's just never going to happen.
That's right.
I'm not there to just get the food. I want the whole experience. So it's just not going to replace certain things, right? If it's a fast food meal, sure, I don't really care. So I think there's a, you know, emphasis on that. Oh, it's going to replace all those things. I just don't think that's possible. And I think the places that stand out are the ones that are legit and have people and have those experiences. Because people will almost push against the fully automated type stuff at some point. I've seen it in our business. Like when I was about 5 or 10 years ago, everything was outsourced to other countries. People still do that. But I had people come to me going, Kevin, I'm using you because you're local and everyone else is using other third, you know, other countries to do all the work.
Sure.
And I can't understand them. I can't get a hold of them. Like, and so they, we had this push to like offshore everything and then it came right back. And then everyone's like, hey, we do it here. And like, that was the new cool thing. So I think you'll see kind of that same kind of maybe shift of let's automate everything AI. And then it's going to be like, I want real again. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I agree. I think you're spot on with that. Absolutely.
That is the future. I predicted it right here on the podcast. Thanks,
Chuck. Yeah, we're recording, right?
Yeah. So anyway, that's just what I think. But so let's talk about, you know, so Alexandria, Virginia, and you got, yeah, DC, Maryland, Northern Virginia for everybody listening. So next year you got Maryland. And then you said your eyes are on Texas. What is kind of the thought process for like, I mean, Maryland, I think makes sense because you said it's you're already getting leads from there and referrals. But how do you choose, okay, let's go to a whole other state. You know, what's, you know, kind of running that or triggering that whole process?
Sure. Sure. I remember the day it happened. We were, you know, in a management meeting and, you know, we have this round table weekly, we check in, you know, all departments, we started discussing where our hits were coming from across the country. And so you're thinking, well, what do you mean outside of the DMV area? Yeah. Oh yeah. So number one, where we didn't market at all, California. Number two, New York. Number three, Texas. Oh. Virginia coming in at number four, which is where we invest most of our marketing budget. So it was really eye-opening in the sense that, well, is there need? Why is that happening? You know, arguably California, you can say, you know, we're a labor and employment firm and, you know, the laws there are very strong for employees. That's who we predominantly represent. Just we're completely employee-based. But, you know, New York was interesting. You think, well, maybe just population, commerce, maybe, you know, you're guessing, right?
Yeah.
But Texas is a very pro-employer state. And it's interesting that there was so much traffic from there. And so we just sort of kept digging, you know, we're very much into the data. We kept digging and we found that maybe it's a need issue. And, you know, I'm going on my second trip to Texas mid-July, but during my first, I eyes wide open, it was completely a need. You know, and there weren't a lot of firms that did what we specialize in, not just labor and employment, but really finding that niche of employee-based labor and employment. And that, when I met with attorneys in Dallas, you know, they said, we didn't have anyone. We're not sure that anyone does it. And so that's sort of like what you want to hear when you're you know, looking at going into a new market. And so, you know, that's really, it was the data. It was following what, you know, your traffic for your website and going from there. That was point one. And
that's interesting. Been,
yeah. Very much so.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good point. Everyone listening, like you look at your analytics and your data and, where you're getting your traffic from, what states, what areas, or if you're just in your state, like what cities, what towns, to kind of find those hotspots. That makes a lot of sense. And it's interesting too. I mean, so you're saying in Texas might have a lot of employment or labor firms that are representing the companies. There's a shortage of representation for the employees. And where I can see California and New York being saturated with those two.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that makes sense. Yeah. So you didn't go with the highest one or the second highest, the third highest. Oh, wait a minute. This makes more sense. That's a pretty cool, interesting way you broke that down. So
yeah,
cool.
And one of the things, you know, that while I was there, you know, I find a lot of movement. Again, I think this is a post-COVID reaction of a lot of corporations. You know, when I was there, I realized Toyota moved. Goldman Sachs was moving. They're due to land in Q4. And so now you've got all these corporations coming in to these no income tax states, and you know, setting a flag there. And so you get a lot of those mid-high-level professionals who are, you know, your target audience. I think that's like the big part is identifying who your target clients would be and then looking for them that way. That was a very helpful marker for us too.
Well, yeah. So now you have, you know, you have looking at what's coming down the pike, right? Like you got new potential coming. And so it's, you're stacking up all the things like, okay, this is stacking up in our favor. It's looking even better. And now you can take that next step, travel. And before you just make a rash decision to say, oh, well, I think we could do good in Texas randomly. And, or like I said, I was hearing a story at a conference I was at in Chicago, where I used Georgia as my example earlier. This firm had done very, very well in a part of Georgia. And instead of just expanding out like you're doing in Maryland, right across the line, they went to the other side of Georgia thinking they could just close the gap. And that didn't work out well at all. Because no one out that part of Georgia had a clue who they were. They had no address. They had no presence. And just because they did well in one city didn't mean the whole state recognized who they were. So the strategy didn't work out very well in their case. But you're looking at the needs there. You're doing the research. You're taking your time. And you're going to pull the trigger when it makes sense. So,
yeah, no, I appreciate that. Yeah. It's, you know, we do move around, you know, but we're always, you know, I sort of planted in the data, you know, we sort of live and die by it. But it's served us well in different ways. And I think that's, you know, one of the things that, you know, all firms, if they don't already, and you know, when I meet with, you know, solo practitioners, it's time, right? I don't have the time to crunch the data or look into it. And I get it. It's a lot. It's difficult to wear so many hats and, you know, sort of that leap of faith to find people, quality people to do the work that you're doing. And then maybe, you know, you sort of push together towards that common goal.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, for the smaller solos or even like an attorney or two, that's the most difficult place to be because you're still wearing a lot of hats, you're still doing the work. And then yet, you know, we're telling them you got to do these things and look at the data and, you know, focus on your core values and your culture. And so there's all these things that you're trying to do and you can't do them all at once. And so it's very easy to just get stuck and focus on the work instead and kind of not focus on those other areas to build. And so it's just more of a reason to grow past yourself and put trust in the people and delegate and you know, get to a point where you have someone looking at the data and you have someone telling you, here's where we should go and making good decisions. But yeah, if you're small, it's just a tougher place to be. And, you know, trying to find the time to do those things is just it's a harder place to be. And it's a fragile place to be, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's expensive. You know, the sort of the recon mission, investing in your SEO, you know, that's all important stuff. And you really, but of course there's a cost attached and, you know, trying to balance that with, you know, your own salary, if you're paying, you know, depending on the structure of your firm and that of your staff, it's a tough pill to swallow, but an important one. I think, you know, that really is what takes firms to that next level is the investment in those areas and then trusting that it's going to work out.
Well, yeah. And just again, it's kind of like overstated, but looking at the data, I think as entrepreneurs, like Tom or me, we like just to do stuff and make decisions and just because it looks fun or cool sometimes. And so, you know, looking at the data is the opposite of that, but it's, you need someone to help you make sense of it, or you're going to spend a lot more potentially open an office somewhere that you shouldn't have. And there's the work's not there or you can't break into the marketing or whatever. So even though y'all are investing in time and money, it's probably going to save you a ton and probably kick you out. You know, you're going to come out with a trajectory and a plan in that market versus trying to figure it out because you just kind of like randomly decided to open an office there. So, yeah, in the long run, it's going to pay for itself for sure.
Absolutely. A scary proposition otherwise, I think.
But as entrepreneurs, you like to just randomly do stuff sometimes and,
that's right,
and get in trouble, right, or break stuff. You know, it's just part of the way we get a roll. But
that's right. You got to break a few dishes along the way.
Yeah, I'm sure Tom's done plenty of that. So,
yeah, you know, he's, you know, I think Tom's one of his best qualities is just his relentless. You know, he doesn't give up. And, you know, that's what kind of why he is the way where he is today.
Sure.
He just didn't give up.
That's good. I love it. I love it. Well, I appreciate you sharing kind of, you know, your all thought process and kind of where you're at and where you're going. You did mention is your other practice areas. So what's new there? Is other areas that you're breaking into?
Yeah, no, we are. We're excited. You know, recently in the DMV area, we started a criminal defense practice. You know, we're not going to focus on volume, you know, sort of traffic court tickets, you know, it's sort of that high level crime. You know, I have a former prosecutor. Tom's a former prosecutor. One of our senior attorneys, a former prosecutor. And nice. So we had the knowledge base in house. And, you know, we thought, well, this is a very specific market. We're not banking on, you know, 1,000 cases a year. You know, we just want to sort of dabble in since we have the skill set.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, you know, it's sort of one of those things where, you know, you're in Texas and no, I heard from two or three separate attorneys. Yeah, we call firms in Austin or we call them in New York to take on these types of cases. Again, so really getting out there and finding out what need is, you know, and of course, not overextending yourself into an area that you're just not comfortable in is important. But we're really excited about that in this area. And so that's very new.
Well, yeah, so you're established in Virginia there in the area you're in. So you're tacking on another practice area that you're comfortable with or you're specialized in, just as you're expanding what you can do in that market. So that makes a lot of sense. And that's how most firms start. You look at these general practice firms, they got like 20 practice areas. You're like, holy smokes. But when I talk with them, didn't start that way. And they grew by necessity. So all our clients ask us if we can help them with this. And then they just become that advisor, that person that can help them with many things. And you know, there's usually a, you know, a method to it all. So it makes sense. Like I have immigration attorneys that also do estate planning and they do divorce. And it's like, well, I help someone with immigration problem. Then they come to me with financial questions and then, you know, they have a divorce or a problem. And then, so it's just stack, 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 stack. And they're just trying to help their client and they grew from necessity at that point. So
yeah, that's great. Sense.
Absolutely. Yeah, so what tip would you have for a solo out there, someone small looking to start their own firm or go out on their own, or maybe they just started? We got a lot of client listeners that, you know, they've started in the last year or so and they're trying to figure it all out. Any tip you'd give them?
I would say to be very intentional in everything you do. You can't halfway any of your meetings, your calls. You know, I would not set contacts or invite someone to lunch or coffee or an after work drink if I wasn't ready to offer them something in exchange. You know, I think it's not ideal when you go and you ask for referrals or you try to make that, it becomes very obvious. And I think your message gets lost, but get to know the person, do your homework before you go. You know, you have your recon missions, do not go unprepared. And then be ready to offer them something of real value so that they actually walk away from it and think, oh, you know, I may refer him a case or her a case. And I think that has always served me very well. And I think it doesn't cost any, you know, it's really just time and, you know, showing that you care about their time as well. I think that can go a long way.
I love that. Everybody thinks they need more time. But what you just said was making the most use of your time and not having a meeting that you shouldn't have or that you're not prepared for or wasting their time and your time. So I think that's huge, you know, making the best out of the time you are spending with people or canceling it if it's not necessary because you're not prepared. Give their time back.
Yeah, we'll appreciate that. That's huge, right? And it's hard to cancel a meeting. You know, you maybe feel like I've got to go, I've already made it. But, you know, I think an honest, you have dialogue. I think transparency goes really far, not only with our clients, but also our peers. And you know, I think we should always, it just serves you well. And you know, I think they'll probably leaning towards that you're more genuine. And, you know, that's the kind of people that you want to work with.
That's a good point. Yeah, if you're running late or rushing around and just to show up and you're not prepared for what you were going to be there for, then take a step back and say, hey, can we push this? I'm running late, or I'm not going to have the time I thought I had. So that's a good point. I like that. So, all right, great tips. I appreciate it. What's the best way for folks to reach out and connect with you?
You can reach us, if you go on spigglelaw.com, SPIGGLELAW, you can reach out to anyone. We have phone numbers. If you want to reach out to me directly, my email address is fmundaca, FMUNDACA at spigglelaw.com. I'll be happy to help anyone out or pointers or even take some on my own. So I really appreciate you having me here today, Kevin. I've watched several of your episodes kind of leading up to this. Tom's mentioned that he had a great time. And so thanks for having me here.
No, I really appreciate it. And of course, we'll tag you in all this stuff. And if anyone needs to connect with him, reach out to me too. I can do an introduction by email or by phone or whatever you like. If you got questions for him or, referral opportunities, whatever you might have with him, I can connect you. So Francisco, thank you so much. And everyone, thanks for tuning in, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Managing Partners Podcast. If you could just please leave a review on one of our podcast platforms, we would greatly appreciate it. For any marketing help with your law firm, please consider Array Digital at arraydigital.com.